KBC, what's a hatchie?
Stay in the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas.
KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
And good Monday evening to you. Chad Hicks here with the Press Box and accepting the great production as always from Mr. Yo-Yo Dave. Yo-Yo, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm excited about this weather right now.
No doubt. That little shower we just got an hour or two ago just really cooled things off. And it does not seem like the beginning of August right here in the beautiful Waxahachie, Texas, USA.
No, I told my sons earlier this week, I said, you know what, boys, I think after playing golf last Friday, I think I'm going to take the month of August off because it's just too dang hot.
You can't do that.
No, not if it's going to be this cool out there. I'm going to have to go play.
So you can go right ahead and thank me for all this, Yo-Yo.
Thank you, sir. Did you wash your car?
I washed both of them. Yeah. Didn't get to the boat, which is always kind of a bit of an oxymoron. You put the boat in the water, why do you need to wash it, right?
But well, yeah,
there's nothing worse for a fisherman than fishing out of a dirty boat. I'm just saying.
Well, that and some of these lakes around here got that mussel.
You got to wash the zebra mussel off your boat.
Yeah,
my boat hadn't been in the water in so long, I think it would have died of suffocation by now.
You got dust on the boat.
I got dust on the top of the boat anyway. Sure. Yo-Yo, I'm extreme. Well, one, I'm working solo tonight, I think.
Yeah, well, except for me being
possibly
here.
I meant here in Studio A of the World Broadcast Headquarters of KBEC Radio.
Right. I'll try to help you as much as I can.
Well, I do appreciate all of that, but I'm extremely excited, and you know why?
Why is that?
We're about to start talking some football.
Football.
And then more football.
Football.
And when we get done with that, we're going to talk some more football on
football.
Top of all of it. It is time, Yo-Yo. It's August, beginning of August, and that means football.
Now, when do they do two-a-days anymore?
Sure, they do.
Okay, well.
You know, it hadn't gotten that hot.
They
check the heat index and the wind rate and the UV rays and all of that.
I guess the CBA hasn't filtered down.
That's right. Yeah, the high schoolers haven't been signing the CBA. We got on tap and so just to let the listeners know to make sure and tune in over the course of the next few weeks, but we got 12 teams in our listening area, and we're going to try to take three of them per night, or per show, you know, on Monday evening 6 p.m right here, like I said, the KBEC World Headquarters, and cover all of them right up to the beginning of the season. And so we're excited about that, you know. And
Can't wait.
Just to give you a little prelude, you know, tonight we've got we're going to start out with that, with, or at least we're tentatively scheduled to start out with Avalon, those Mighty Eagles. Then work our way over to the Palmer Bulldogs, and then finish up with those fierce Ferris Yellow Jackets.
Oh my!
Yeah, and so get this thing going. We're excited about that.
I'm sorry for my ignorance.
Okay.
Any of those six man?
There is one. We're going to start off. Yes, I'm glad you asked. And we've got more than one six-man team in our listening area. So it's going to be exciting. We might even learn a little bit about six-man football other than just simply talking coaches and players and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I love six-man football. It is exciting. It is fast.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Well, that's good stuff.
Good stuff. And Yo-Yo, you know I come in tonight a little different. You may not – I mean, this is aside from football, but I wanted to squeeze this in. I'm now a record holder.
Uh-oh. Well, here, let me stand up and let me – hold on.
There we go.
Yeah.
So Saturday night, Now, granted, it's not classic Texas music yet, but it will be.
Okay.
But my wife and family and I, we went to a Parker McCollum concert
at the
Dos Equis, what I'm going to call the Starplex. Back in the day, it was called the Starplex there at Fair Park.
Right, yeah.
And that young man set a record for attendance in that venue.
Did he really? Good for him.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it was packed, and the kid can put on a show, I'm just telling you.
You know, that's the great thing about Texas music is those Texas artists, they can sure put it out there for you.
They absolutely can. You know, he's I'd say he's an up-and-comer. I mean, he's been at it now 5, 6, 7 years, something like that.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But he has gone Nashville over the course of the last couple years
or so.
Well,
they all got to go over to the dark side every now and then.
Sooner or later, it happens to all of them, you know. But the kid aspires to come back, you know, kind of like Willie and Waylon and all of them did back in the day. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, but yeah, I was part of a 25,000-head crowd that broke a record there. I'm kind of excited about that.
Outstanding. I'll tell you what, that's a great thing to hear, though.
Yeah.
It's great that we can get together and go and enjoy music now these days with all the stuff going on.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, and it was, I mean, when you put 25,000 people in that tight-knit of a place, there's no social distancing. I just got to give it up to that.
No,
but, you know.
Yeah.
But I am vaccinated and feel as though I was covered.
You know, I went to go see my cardiologist last week in, up in Dallas, and I had my mask, and he goes, "You can take that off." He says, "You've had the disease and you're vaccinated."
Yeah. So you got a double dose of coverage.
Right. So I said, "Okay."
Good deal. All righty. Well, do we want to run some commercials right quick and then come back with our first coach?
We can certainly do that and try to get our first coach on the line here and see what we can do about talking about some football.
There we go. Well, we'll be back in just a few. Stay with us.
Yep. Let me go ahead and tell you right now about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning in Waxahachie. They provide superior HVAC expertise you demand for the highest quality results in your AC repair and heating needs. Call today at 972-834-2567. 972-834-2568. That's Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. And learn more about all of their HVAC contractor services. Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. That phone number one more time, 972-834-2568. Back right after these messages.
Pete's Tires and Automotive at 3704 Highway 77 North, where they do it all. From tires and rims to lift kits, level kits, along with all kinds of diesel performance work and general maintenance too. And you'll love their contactless drop off and pick up. That's it. Makes it easier for everyone. And at Pete's Tires and Automotive, you want to ask about their loyalty rewards program too. It's 3704 Highway 77 North, or give them a call at 972-617-7029. Pete's Tires and Automotive.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Since 2006, Auto Tent Design in Waxahachie has helped drivers not only look cooler, but feel cooler on the hot Texas highways. Auto Tent Design is your certified Lumar Automotive window film dealer, offering the industry's best window tinting, custom fit for your car by the best installers in town. With more than 10 years of experience, you can trust us to get your installation right the first time. Auto Tent Design also specializes in truck accessories, alarms with remote start, grill guard, step bars, and all types of bed covers, bed liners, and full front-end replacements. Auto Tent Design, 1111 Ferris Avenue, Waxahachie. Call 972-935-0740 or check them out online at autotentdesigninc.com.
Classic Texas. KPEC.
And now, back to the Press Box on KBEC.
And we're back, just as promised. Yo, I've done really, really good over the last 6 months or so, 8 months that I've been doing this show. And every time I promise we're coming back, we always come back.
You've been 100%.
100%.
100% every time.
I can't say I'm 100% at much, but I am 100% at that, you know. So, good deal. Well, I do believe on our telephone lines now, we have the coach from those mighty Alabama Eagles, Coach Malcolm Cole. Coach, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Oh, mighty fine. How are you doing this evening?
Doing well, doing well.
Are the mighty Eagles ready to soar?
I sure hope so. We had a good first day today, and yeah, so we'll see how it goes from there. But I'm really excited, and I know the kids are excited, so hoping for the best this year.
Well, you covered a little bit of my first question then. So at the six-man level, the Division 1A level, so what is the schedule look like? I mean, when you say the first day today, so I'm assuming you weren't in pads, but, I mean, is today your official first day of preseason practice?
Yes, sir. We have to go through the days of conditioning and stuff like that. So we got lots of running in today. You know, they always love that. But, you know, in our game, it's so important to be in such good shape.
Exactly.
Be able to get up and down the field. So we're really working, focusing on that aspect right now and trying to make a few adjustments to our scheme this year. So just getting all those things installed and get them in best shape we can so that next week we can really get after it.
I would think one key to success is just to never get out of shape, right? Just stay that way all year long.
That's
just don't ever
right.
take a
yes,
break,
sir.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Well, so you got a lot of stuff to talk about here, coaches and players, and I even want to talk a little bit about just some of the schemes and the positions and things of that nature. But let's start off with your coaching staff. I mean, what does a six-man team coaching staff look like? You're obviously the head coach, and I know you got a couple of assistants, maybe Coach Romero, Coach De La Garza. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct. I'm the head coach, and I call all of our defense for us as well, which
okay.
is six-man football is kind of ironic why you want to call the defense with all the points being scored.
Right.
Pretty good job security,
so,
you know.
Yeah, so is your goal to keep them under 100? Is that what it is?
Yes, and I fired myself many a times after a game. Coach De La Garza is our offensive coordinator. He does a great job preparing them. He's real spread-oriented and pays a lot of attention to the new concepts coming out and tries to take some things from the 11-man game and implement it in our game. So he does a great job with that. Coach Romero is actually an athlete that I had the privilege to coach back in 2012 and before then. And he was, you know, a great athlete then and been a huge asset to our staff. His strength falls in that strength and conditioning area. He really thrives in that and loves that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, that's just one more thing I can take on my plate, turn into him. And I think he's going to be a pretty good defensive mind down the road too. So,
fantastic. That's cool. You hear about that a lot, right, at bigger schools and all that. But sometimes it can be difficult at a small school because they're just – I mean, how many coaches do you have in total? Is it the three of you or do you have more than that?
No, so on staff total, we're pretty fortunate. We have 10.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, one that happens to be our superintendent, Mr. Marshall, he still coaches, you know, cross country. Our high school principal, Mr. Hernandez, he coaches volleyball. So we all wear a lot of hats and things like that. So we like to keep it where we don't have to try to do something all year long. Everybody gets some time off, especially for the ones that are having to teach classes and stuff like that, have some time where they can really focus on being a great teacher and educator and then, you know, still focus on their sports as well.
So be honest with this question here. I mean, how weird is that when you're the head coach, say, in film review or something with your assistants, you got the superintendent sitting there. Have you ever just, like, unloaded on him and got to play that card?
Well, he's not actually on our staff. He does cross country, but it is fun. We actually had the privilege to go coach an all-star game together a couple years ago when we got selected by the Texas Six-Man Coach Association to do that, and so he went with us and helped, and it was kind of fun going back and forth a little bit with him. I would love to have him on our staff because I think he'd be a great asset, but, you know, getting the superintendent to do that's not
kind of tough.
And then you usually get told no.
Right. So I'm gonna dig one out of my back pocket here, but, I mean, did you coach Blake McCullough by chance?
I sure did, yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. I've befriended Blake over the years and all that, and he's worked with my son some in the past, and I think the world of him, and that's kind of cool that You know, he enlightened me a lot to the with regard to the six-man game and all of that. So.
Absolutely. Blake's a great kid. I would love to get him back in the six-man game, but I know his passion's in the 11-man game, and he's doing great things in that. And, you know, I just wish him nothing but the best, and great young man, great coach, and I'm going to be – great at anything he does, pretty much.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Works hard at everything that he does, you know, and takes pride in everything that he does. So now let's move to some players. I mean, I know you got a couple of seniors, Jesse Morones and Gabriel Pacheco, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they had. I'm assuming they're heading up your senior core and your basically the leadership of your team. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean that's how it appears from my vantage point, anyway.
Absolutely. No, it is. We have two seniors, only one junior, and then three sophomores, and then we have a mess of freshmen this year, which are going to be valuable pieces. So we're going to be pretty young again. But those two seniors are been at summer workouts every day this summer, leading by example. I'm just very pleased with everything they've done to this point and excited about what they're going to lead into this year.
And then I want to touch briefly, too, on Eric Padron, right? So is he a sophomore? Do I have that correct?
Yes, sir. He's a sophomore.
Because I did see a preseason prediction that he could be the MVP of the district there. So he obviously is a big part of your scheme, isn't he?
Yes, sir. In six-man, we have the spread back, which is, in 11-man, very similar to the quarterback, the run-throw guy. Offense pretty much runs through them. He can take off and just beat you with his wheels. He can throw it 40 yards on a dime if he wants to. He's a pretty special talent for some at our level. But I can't say enough about him as a freshman last year. I mean, he took some licks, but got right back up and went after it again. And I think that only made him a little bit better. And then, of course, he got in the weight room too this year and has really been working out hard. And I'm really excited about the things he can do in conjunction with everybody else on our team.
Yeah, I show him listed as a 4.6 40 kid. And, I mean, if at that division, I mean, if you're running like that, you ought to be able to outrun a lot of folks, I would think, if you can get to the corner, correct?
Absolutely. The thing about Eric is, when he was in seventh grade, he went to the district track meet and ran a 53 open quarter. And everybody's jaw just dropped when he ran that. I mean, literally almost fell off the track when he did it, but he ran a 53 open quarter, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So junior high coaches were like, you know, going crazy at that point. I was like, yeah, that kid's going to be special. So
now let's backtrack just a minute to this spread back. So, because this was something I actually, quite honestly, I learned today in preparing for tonight's discussion, but because I wasn't aware of that. I mean, I knew there's a quarterback, obviously, but as a spread back, so they can take a snap directly from the center, is that correct? Or does it have to go to a quarterback and then it's immediately pitched or handed off?
Yes, sir. It actually goes to a quarterback, and then in ours, not what we do, we're in a shotgun snap, and it snaps to a quarterback, and then he immediately gets it back to the spread back, who then serves as our run-throw guy.
So by rule, does there have to be essentially then, I guess, two exchanges from the center to the quarterback and then the quarterback from there?
Yes, sir. By the way the rule's written, it says one exchange, but you're correct. If you can count the center exchange as one, then yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got you. Okay, but once he gets it, he can do anything. He can run it, throw it, he can do anything he wants, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Is there still just one forward pass allowed?
Yes, sir, one forward pass. Lots of handoffs to the side passes in six-man. You see some people run, especially out in West Texas, they really like to run the option.
Yeah.
There's lots of cool things that you can see in the game.
Yeah.
You know, what we do is it's pretty cut and dry. We're kind of trying to create isolation of situations where he's one-on-one, and then, you know, if they try to come down, he'll let him. He can beat you with
sling
his arm.
So. Yeah. That sounds like an incredible weapon for sure. Well, and then, you know, with football, there's a lot of luck that plays into it. I think you'd agree with that, correct?
Oh, yes, sir.
And you get lucky enough to be lined up in the same district as Blum.
Yes,
I think I know they're ranked high in the state. I don't know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere along in there. And of course, it's preseason. Who knows what the heck a ranking means at this point? But from my information, I mean, they are going to be pretty salty, I think, and maybe a team that could stand in your way potentially.
Absolutely. You know, Coach Thornhill does a great job with those guys over there. You know, they won the state title a couple years ago. And, you know, we're on the way last year. I mean, really picked up some steam and ran into a pretty good May team in the semifinals. But he does a great job with them. His staff does a great job. And, you know, it's always going to be a challenge anytime you're in a district with them. But hopefully we can find a way to be successful. You know, last year I was pleased with our kids in that game against them. It was a one-score game at halftime.
Oh, wow.
And depth just got us in the second half. We just didn't have the depth to hold up to them. So, you know, then we got out of the next round, and it was the same situation. Good game at halftime, and then just depth got away with us. So
here's some more six-man football-type questions and coaching-type questions. So just, I don't know, whenever it was, a week or two or three ago, the high school coaches' school down, I believe this year was in San Antonio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
I mean, at the six-man, do y'all go to coaching school as well, or is there things there that you can learn or pick up when most of the people there are playing an 11-man game?
Absolutely. A lot of coaches go to that one as well and take a lot of the concepts and skills. Drills are drills with football. That's what people don't understand, is that the six-man game is still football. You can hear some people say, oh, that's not real football. But when you get out there, it's still blocking, running, tackling, catching the ball, you know, throwing the ball. It's football. You know, I'm the president of our Texas Six-Man Coaches Association.
Oh,
so we
wow.
have our own coaching clinic in Wichita Falls every year and an all-star game for our kids. So that's a great learning tool for all of our coaches to go up there and share with each other and really focus on the six-man game. And, you know, we've incorporated more things along basketball and other things like that to really try to reach out to all of our 1A coaches and give them a place to go share and really build that camaraderie amongst those smaller schools.
Yeah. So how long you been in this coaching game? How long you been doing this?
This is going to be my 15th year coaching total and my seventh year as the head coach at Avalon.
Okay. Have all 15 years been at the six-man level?
Yes, they're all 15. I've actually played all 4 years in high school.
Oh, you
did? So.
And where are you from?
Abbott. I played under Coach Crawford at Abbott, actually.
Okay.
He's still there. And we actually play them week one. It's always fun because we play each other every year, it seems like. Last year we played twice, first game of the season and the playoffs.
And the playoffs as well.
It's always fun, but there's such a strong camaraderie amongst the small schools. Not that there's not the other levels too, but we have fun and you know, you take your lumps from them, but you smile and laugh after them.
Yeah.
Still go out and share ideas and stuff like that. So it's a great community to be a part of.
And give them a great big we'll see you next year when it's over.
Yes, sir.
It is pretty amazing that how many schools, I mean, with Avalon and Abbott and Milford, and I mean there's so many six-man programs that it's not that far of a drive, really. I mean, you know, I don't know why I would think this, but I mean, it just seems like, I mean, if I heard you had to make a 3-hour road trip to the next six-man team that, you know, or six-man school, it wouldn't be outlandish or, you know, a difficult fall. But man, it's amazing how many there are pretty close to us, you know, right here. And Blum's not even that far, you know.
You're right. You know, you got Blum, Covington, Walnut Springs, Iredell, you know, all within a 45-minute to an hour drive from us. And so it's a great area for six-man football. You know, the people that come and watch it are always like, man, this is a great game to watch. I'm like, yeah, it's entertaining, and kids have to be athletic and show tools that you see at the 11-man level. It's just on a different scale and things like that you see.
Fantastic. Yeah, good deal. Sorry, I was – okay. Got to get caught up here. We've got all kind of stuff going on here in the studio this evening, Coach. But
right.
Yeah, so obviously Blum is going to be a difficult opponent. And then, I mean, what else do you see as the district lays out, or what, you know, what other obstacles may there be for you?
I think, you know, Milford's always going to be a tough matchup.
Yep.
You know, they're going to have a new head coach over there this year, but they're going to be tough. Their kids are going to play hard. Coach Steele at Covington did a great job. You know, we lost to those guys last year. They come out and got us from the very first game of the district, and we had to fight for our lives. We had to have some help to end up getting in the playoffs. So our Coach Morgan at Bynum was actually on Coach Thornhill's staff when they won the state championship as the head coach at Bynum now. So our district is no slouch top to bottom, and you're going to have to go out and put your best foot forward every week.
Right.
And take care of business. If not, somebody's going to slip up and bite you, and you're going to be sitting at home come the playoff time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's really fun stuff. I wish I could make you a promise that I would go. My daughter's a cheerleader here in Waxahachie, though, so I imagine I'm going to find myself every Friday night at a Waxahachie Indian game. But if and when I can, I'll squeeze one in, and because I've seen it before, and it's like no other sport. I don't know how to explain it. It's basketball and football and track. It's like kind of everything all rolled into one a little bit. You know, it's a,
yes, sir.
It's
yes,
a fast-paced deal for sure. Well, Coach, we wish you all the best. Go lead those Screaming Eagles to victory if you can.
Well, thank you, sir. I sure appreciate it. Thank you for everything you do for our schools. We really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you. And that is Coach Malcolm Cole of the Avalon Eagles. And we wish them all the best this year. It's going to be a tough – they've got a tough district that they play in there at the six-man level. And so glad that he was on. He led the thing off tonight, not only tonight but for the season with the over the next coming weeks. Like I said, all we're going to talk about is football. So with that, we will transition quickly over to those mighty Palmer Bulldogs and Coach Don Waddell. Coach, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. So I believe the Bulldogs play there in District 7 of 3A Division 2. Is that correct?
You are correct.
All righty. And so how's your summer been? What have you uncovered anything you weren't expecting, or have any kids showed up you weren't expecting that could really make a difference in your program, or what are we looking like at the moment?
No, we had a pretty good summer overall. A good percentage of our kids involved in summer workouts, but no surprise. Nothing to jump up and, you know, think about we have or the ones we expected to have.
Right. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you got a kid by the name of Braylon Lopez, correct?
Yes, we do.
And based on what I've read and the information I've gathered, he appears to be pretty salty. He's projected to possibly be the reigning, or not the reigning, but the MVP for the district.
Well, he is. So he last year, sophomore, he was the district MVP.
Oh, he was. So he is the reigning MVP then as a sophomore.
He's reigning. We would love for him to do it again.
Right. So it appears, I think he's a 4'5 kid, maybe something of that nature. Fast fours anyway.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then carrying a fair amount of weight, doing it at 180 pounds or so. How do you utilize Braylon?
Every way.
Yeah.
And he plays free safety on defense, our starting running back. Offense, we try to create a lot of different ways to get him the ball.
Just any way possible, huh?
You bet.
All righty. And then what about at the quarterback spot? Because it's my understanding that both Williamson and Verba, I mean, they're kind of battling it out. Or have you chosen a starter yet? Or what does that situation look like?
No, not at all. We've got three guys playing quarterback. We had a new kid named Elijah Hernandez move at he's been with us all spring. He'll be a senior, and then we have Joshua, and he'll be a junior, and then Lane, who'll be a sophomore. So they're all three taking reps at quarterback right now.
With each of those, what does the complexion of your team look like? I mean, does it change from one of those kids to the other? I mean, is one a runner, one a passer, that sort of thing?
I mean, sure, they all have different strengths and weaknesses. We're finding out about them as we go. With Elijah, who – we've got to really figure out what we have there, our strengths and weaknesses. He does have a lot of experience playing quarterback. He played a lot at Irving where he came from. Josh, being a junior, he hasn't always been a quarterback. So he's inexperienced. And then Lane has played quarterback a good portion of his life, but he's obviously young, being a sophomore. He missed a good part of his freshman year being hurt.
I got you. Any other – I mean, what other notable players? I mean, they're – typically quarterbacks are as good as the receivers they can get the ball to, right? So what do you got catching it on the other end?
Well, we have a returning senior who plays – we call it as in our offense, an inside receiver, running back. We have a returning Jacob Barum, do-it-all guy. He's experienced, and he's quick, and he's a great player. Outside, guessing right now we're going to start – kid named Elijah Garcia and Drew Powell. They both got considerable playing time last year, but they'll be looking right now, probably be starting one.
And then I'm not sure about the first, but I mean, Powell, he's a burner as well with like four or five speed,
run.
Something
he's
like that.
He's a very good athlete. He can run and jump. He definitely has the ability to be a big play guy, and we're going to look at him like that. And you get the ball in his hands, he can run. So that's a good deal. Elijah's more of a possession-type receiver, but he can make tough catches, very physical. So we're in good shape there.
Yeah, you got to keep the chains moving, right? That's always.
And we actually moved the kid that played quarterback for us last year, and Caden Langthorne. He's going to be a tight end, H-back type for us. He's a very, very physical player, so we're going to be utilizing his skill set as well. So we're in good shape, skill kid wise. We're just inexperienced.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you make something out of it when they're that way, you definitely can once they gain the experience. So that's that's always a positive.
They've been watching some successful teams before them, so we're just hoping they'll carry on that tradition of trying to win and work hard.
So in that District 7, I mean, who do you vision or who do you see is your is your main opponent or an obstacle that could stand in your way?
Well, there's several. Actually, we've got you have a lot of unknowns. Edgewood with a lot of guys, they play hard and they're well. Blooming Grove, very athletic. They have a new head coach. They have plenty of talent. And then you got Curry Ross, who is low, good young player, and they're well coached as well. So I look at those guys, and then you got Mildred, who word on the street is has a bunch of moving. So top to bottom, should be pretty dang tough.
Yeah.
I look at every top school.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a pretty stacked district as well, just like Avalon does that we just talked to a moment ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did. I think a lot of the other teams that we were able to beat last year have a lot returning, and their sub-varsity is good teams. That's a challenge for us. You know, we graduated last year, and then we had one junior who chose to graduate early. So, really, we lost 90 players off our varsity last year.
Wow. Yeah, that's always tough when you lose them, but it happens to everybody sooner or later, I think, right?
No doubt.
Yeah.
We're excited about the challenge. We've got some good young kids. We've had a couple skilled kids that moved to offensive line that are really good football players. So I'm excited. We're going to be fine. It's not going to be as have been.
And then did your official practice start this morning as well?
It did.
Yep. So it's go time right now.
No doubt.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you got a few days in shorts and T-shirts or the first week or something like that, and then you start suiting them up? Is that how this works?
Yeah, that rule's kind of – you got to go 2 days in the shorts and T-shirts and helmets. And then actually on day three, you're allowed to put pads, the half pads. So you're in shoulder pads and helmet, all that.
Right.
But you can't go anything live until that is practice.
I got you. Okay. And then when is y'all's first game?
Oh, crap. I'm back to dates. You know, we prepared that second Saturday, 2 weeks from last Saturday.
I got you. Okay.
We got Valley Mills. We opened with Kim.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again? You opened with who?
Kemp.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever that Friday played, obviously.
Fantastic. Well, Coach, we wish you all the best and good luck to you and the Mighty Palmer Bulldogs. And thank you for coming on with us tonight. And we're excited to get the football season going. You know, we've had a lot to talk about over the last six or eight, well, basically since the beginning of the year. But nothing is like talking football, Texas high school football. And so we've got 12 teams in our listening area here in Ellis County, and you were number two on the list for tonight, and we just got it started, and we can't wait to talk to each and every one of these teams. But good luck to you, and hope to hear nothing but great things from the Palmer Bulldogs.
You and me both.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate you being on.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good
one. You too. Thank you. That is Coach Don Waddell.
All right.
From the Palmer Bulldogs.
So everybody started practice today?
The way I understand it, Yo-Yo, every football program started today, yes.
And then we're looking at football starting in how many weeks?
It's like 4 weeks.
So like four weeks.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I know the phones are going to light up and my personal phone will start blowing up with misinformation. But essentially they go about a week in shorts and T-shirts and that sort of thing. And then they have about 3 weeks before the first game, but they may have a scrimmage or something like that squeezed in there as well.
Yeah, I remember they usually have a scrimmage before they get started. So
that's right. And so I think if I look at my schedule as quickly as I can here, my calendar rather. But yeah. I think the
your busy social calendar.
Busy social calendar. Yeah, I think the first games may be on like August 27th, something like that.
Okay, so we're about getting started. The first of the month, it'll be towards the end of the month.
Exactly.
All right. Very good.
For sure.
Now, I told the other coach we'll be calling him in about 4 minutes.
So alrighty.
I'll get that going here in just a minute. I got another couple of questions for you though.
Oh man, I hope I can ask them.
Not necessarily high school football related.
All right.
Of course, you know, the professionals have started their singular practices. They had the weirdest schedule, but am I correct in assuming or hearing that the Hall of Fame game is this Thursday?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah, and it's the Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's the Cowboys and the Buccaneers.
And I heard that Dak Prescott is planning on playing a little bit, maybe one or two series.
Okay.
And then it'll be, our backups. And I can't – Cooper Rush or whoever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I know that we don't really count these games, and this doesn't – we're really just looking at other
– Don't worry about that because nobody else does either.
Right. So I like to watch at least the first couple of series. I'm real curious to see if Dak Prescott – has really recovered from that ankle break because that was just
pretty nasty.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
But from what I'm hearing, everything's going to be okay with him.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, it'll be okay until it happens again, right?
Well, isn't that right?
So, yeah. Everybody's day to day, as they say. But,
the thing is that who was it? Was it Muhammad Ali that says everybody has a plan until they get hit in the face one time?
One time. It's all it takes.
So I know that. They're doing as best they can to get everything going, but I'm sure Dak Prescott is not looking forward to that first ankle tackle when he's in the backfield getting ready to throw.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah, he might ball up into the fetal position and hit the ground.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
But when it comes to, we just mentioned that, I said this game matters to no one, but actually I think it probably does. It probably matters a lot to Drew Pearson.
Oh, yes.
Yes. The guy's got his ring. They're already promoting him with his ring on and all of that jazz. And so for him, and as a kid growing up, a Cowboy fan and a fan of Drew Pearson, Roger Staubach, and all that, good for him.
Good for him, yeah. Finally. He knows about patience, that's for sure.
That is, yes. It's a virtue, apparently, Yo-Yo. It's a virtue.
So, other thing, have you been watching any of the Olympics?
I have. I watched a lot of swimming.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't help but watch a lot of swimming.
Well, I've been watching, the volleyball. Not the beach volleyball, the regular
volleyball. The regular ball, yeah.
Those guys hit that ball really, really hard.
It's almost straight down when they spike one. It's pretty amazing. I think they need to raise the net.
But you know what's been the most fun watching? Is some of those sports that you don't see a lot.
Synchronized bowling.
Synchronized bowling was fun. ping pong.
Yeah, that's always a fun
one. I love table tennis. That's always fun.
It is.
And the other one that have you seen the mixed doubles badminton?
Yeah. And it's kind of weird how it's fast pace, like ping pong.
Yeah.
In one blink, but then in the next blink, it slows way down. And then it's back to fast. And it's there's a dynamic there that's kind of weird. I mean, when you watch table tennis and then, and then they switch over to badminton, it's kind of – because you're kind of thinking it'd be a little bit of the same, but the birdie just – all the energy just dies from it.
Yeah, when they hit it up in the air and it takes forever for it to come down.
Right.
Yeah. But I like watching it. It's a lot of fun, but you know, my favorite's coming up right now is track and field.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching the discus yesterday and the hammer throw. That hammer throw just completely befuddles me every time.
That's right. And believe it or not, I've seen a hammer throw get kind of out of hand, no pun intended.
Well, I saw it a couple of times last night when they were hitting the poles and stuff like that.
That's what I'm referring to. There is a reason that big net is around that thing.
Well, you know what? When you're spinning that fast and you got 16 pounds on the end of a rope or a chain or whatever it is.
Exactly.
And then they're throwing it out there 200 and some odd feet. Yep. God almighty.
It's unreal. It really is.
It really is.
So I got a military question for you.
All right.
What is it about people in the military, they always have a fondness for table tennis? I mean, do y'all just play a lot of table tennis in the military?
Well, not a whole lot on the ship because, you know, the table rocks and rolls.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah.
It might make a sporting advantage to you, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. It seems like to me that on the ship that I was on whenever we were in port, table tennis and darts and pocket pool.
Yeah,
were big ones. Now, we had one guy that played snooker, and I never did understand that game. But, pool and...
Well, it's a form of pool.
Well, right? I know, but...
Billiards.
You try to hit certain balls in a certain way and all this other stuff, and then you try to snooker your other guy that's playing against you. But I never understood it. I never understood which ball I was supposed to hit when in snooker.
I got you. So is that just a space thing? Is that why that, you know, there's like no big grassy field where you can go play some softball or football, you know, flag football or something?
When you're in port, there's usually an athletic area there, and almost every base has a golf course.
Right.
And then they have an athletic place where they have baseball and softball and things like that. And then we used to get together and play tag football, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it usually ended up being tackle, but
there's always somebody that has to ruin it, right?
And then, but, you know, we always had that option to go do that. And then weightlifting, lots of weightlifting. People got into really trying to move that iron around.
Right.
Not me. I was into the football. I like to play football. I like to play softball. And what I really liked was going to the Chinese food restaurant afterwards and wearing out the buffet.
So. There you go. No MSG.
Well, we better go. I got to make a phone call.
Let's go sell some stuff, and we'll try to come back with Coach Stephen Greek of the Ferris Yellow Jackets.
All right, and we appreciate you, and thanks very much. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Another proud sponsor of the Press Box on KBEC is Metro Florist and Gifts in Ferris, in the heart of downtown Ferris. They've got flowers for all occasions. A lot of great gift ideas, too. Whether it be birthdays, funerals, that special occasion, or just because. Just give Chris a call today. 972-544-8877. That's 972-544-8877. Metro Florist and Gifts, now at their new location in the heart of downtown Ferris, taking care of you for any and all occasions.
If you are ever in need of a record service, call Topro Record Service at 972-938-3221. They're the pros that can give you a tow. Topro handles small and heavy towing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Danny and his crew have been serving this area since the year 2000. Let them put their experience to work for you. Call 972-938-3221 or email at towprowax@gmail.com. Topro Record Service.
Featherston Auto Repair, 3654 Highway 77 in Sterrett, Texas. Their team does it all. Featherston Auto Repair for brake work, tune-ups, transmission repair. They do electrical work, engine repair, suspensions, and more. They're your one-stop shop for your family's vehicle repairs. Always glad to give you a free estimate, too, at Featherston Auto Repair, 3654 Highway 77 North, just north of Waxahachie. Or give Bobby Featherston a call at 972-617-9966. And now back to the Press Box on KBEC.
And we are back. I think on our phone lines now, straight off the practice field, as I understand it, is Coach Stephen Greek of the Ferris Yellow Jackets. Coach, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right off the field.
Perfect. You got in every minute you could today, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
They all count, and these right here are very precious at the beginning of the season, I think. So I'm told, anyway. So how do the Farish Yellow Jackets handle it? Did you go 2-a-days today? Did y'all practice this morning and then this evening again, or was it just one today? Or what are we looking like?
What we did, we checked the young men in early this morning, made sure they had their physicals and their UIL paperwork, and then we had some meetings, a little bit of special teams offense and defensive meetings, and then we kind of did a walkthrough and a little bit of just teaching the kids what to wear, how to line up, how to warm up.
Yep.
And then we let them go this morning, and they came back this afternoon. Of course, we had some weather issues. We worked around the lightning and worked around the weather a little bit, and then we were able to finish on the turf at the stadium. So it was a good day one.
Good, good. And I should have mentioned this when I introduced you, but Coach Greek here, Stephen Greek with the Farish Yellow Jackets. He's a new coach. You just started. You've been there, a couple of months now, I guess, right? Something like
Since
that?
Since March, yes,
Since
sir.
March. Since March, okay. Well, I know we interviewed you just a few weeks ago, I think, but it seems like 10 minutes ago that we did that, but time does fly, and we interview a lot of folks, you know, so it's kind of hard to keep up and that sort of thing. But so were you pleased with your summer turnout and the way the kids worked and showed up for workouts and all of that?
Yes, sir. We had a great summer attendance from our junior high and high school boys and girls. They came much of the summer. They put in hard work Monday through Thursday with their conditioning and their lifting. And then, our kids had summer league basketball as well as 7-on-7 football. And so we had a lot of fun. It was a very productive summer. But, you know, like for everybody in the state, that's in the past, and today for everybody, the clock started, and it's day one. So
today,
I feel like we got better, and so excited. It was a great summer, and now we're marching toward, you know, each day just trying to be the best we can be.
So, Coach, you touched on something that sparked some questions in me, which is 7-on-7. So, as I understand it, by rule, it's a separate league or separate from UIL. It's got to be coached by someone other than the coaching staff at the high school. Is that correct? Let's start with that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What we do is we allow our quarterbacks, okay,
mm-hmm.
to call what they see. That's a new style of offense. And so in 7-on-7, the kids are looking to the queue to make the call, and then they try to execute it. And then defensively, our senior leaders and our kids out there, they're making their coverage calls. And so that allowed, obviously during the summer, you can't coach your kids other than that UIL allows that little skill session. So 7-on-7 was basically player-led and senior-led, and it was a lot of fun playing against Ennis and Palmer and Forney and just some great programs. So a lot of fun. We got better, and a lot of that's a tribute to the senior leadership and the kids out there on the field just kind of coaching each other up.
Yeah, it sounds like a great opportunity for them to learn something. I mean, just learn some football, right, rather than the plays they're told to run and all that. But the brain part of the game, right, the thought process.
Absolutely.
So then the plays that they're running, and I mean, is it what y'all are running in your in your offensive scheme, let's say, let's start on the offensive side of the ball, right? I mean, but it is, they're lining up and running with their wide receiver core, basically what they're going to run as a Farish Yellow Jacket. Correct.
Yes. What we try to do, you know, and that's the one, that's a great advantage of working with some of the programs we were able to compete against is we're, and I don't want this to sound bad, but we're not trying to win summer 7-on-7
right.
per se. Obviously, anytime there's a competition, you want to try to win.
Right.
But our objective is we're going to try to get better at the things that we want to do this fall. And so our kids were running what we're going to call during the summer. And, if it looks sloppy or muddy, then we just got to clean it up and get better. We're not going to go draw plays in the dirt. Because that's probably not what we're going to do this fall. We want to run what we run and try to get better at it.
So then, here comes the big question about a kid by the name of Nathan Greek, right? So is he your quarterback, or will he have a shot at playing quarterback for you? Or he's obviously, I mean,
yes, sir.
The listeners hadn't figured it out. It's your son
right now is our number one
okay.
quarterback.
So, I mean, that's got its huge advantages, doesn't it? Because here's a kid who's lived with the head coach his entire life. I'm reasonably confident that around the dinner table, you've probably talked a little football with him. And then you go out for 7-on-7, so you literally do have, even though he's a teenager, I mean, he's a coach on the field, isn't he?
He's been around the game since he was in diapers. He's played with his older brother, who's now at Mississippi State, and they both grew up kind of being groomed for that position. And then at the end of the day, you know, be a football player, play where the team needs you. And the cool thing about Nathan is he's not only got varsity experience as a quarterback, but he's played. He was defensive newcomer of the year as a three technique on the defensive line. His freshman year.
Wow.
And his sophomore year, he's played quarterback, he's played tight end, he even played a little O-line when we had some injuries right. happen. So he's a big kid that just – what I appreciate about him is he's a football player, and he'll play anywhere the team needs him to play. But the cool thing is his whole life he's been groomed to play at this quarterback spot, and he just happens to be a really big one.
I
think it'll be exciting. Mm-hmm. He knows this offense. He's been running it since he was in junior high. And so a lot of the ways we think and want to call stuff, he's hopefully a step ahead in just recognizing where we want to go with the ball, why we want to go there, and then to do it with excellence. That's, you know, he's going to have to grow into this position just like every kid's going to have to grow. It's a new offense. So much of this offense is about timing and execution and then getting the ball to the playmakers. And that's something that we hope to see from Nathan as well as all the other guys on the offensive side of the ball.
I have him listed at 6'5", 235 with 4.9 speed. Is that remotely accurate?
Yes, sir. He's weighing in right at about anywhere from 230 to 236, depending on if we hit the buffet or not.
Right, for sure. Yeah.
He's hovering in that 230, 232 range. And like I said, if we go to the buffet, he might weigh in that night at 235. But speed-wise, he's right at that 4.95 flat. We'd like to drop the speed, but, again, that's something he was concentrating on and working on that this summer. But the cool thing in this offense also is we don't ask the quarterback to run the ball a whole lot. We ask him to be a distributor.
Yeah.
And so get the ball to those little fast guys and the tall, fast guys. Get the ball to those guys and let them do what they do well. And then every now and then, if we need you to run it, we might call your number.
Yeah, and that's how you make for a lot of longevity in your career, right? And hand it off as quick as possible or throw it as quick as possible. But
yes, sir.
I can say this. At 6'5", 235, there's not a school in the state of Texas that wouldn't want a bite of that. I mean, that's incredible size. And to run in the fours, carrying that much of a load, that's quite impressive, you know. All right, so let's move on and talk about a linebacker you have by the name of, I believe it's Kanan Gaditska, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm
Cannon is a senior, and he is a ferocious hitter and competitor.
Yep.
And we're looking at Cannon in our new scheme at a variety of spots, but he's got that linebacker mindset, and I can't wait to see him when the lights come on.
Well, we hosted an all-star baseball game about a month ago, and I apologize for I was thinking it was Kanan, but I guess it's Cannon, right?
Yes, sir.
I know I got the Gaditska part right. His dad came up to the press box and corrected me, and I'm so glad that he did. You know, it's one of those tough names. It's not spelled anywhere near what it sounds like, you know. But the word on the street I get off of him is exactly what you said. He's a very aggressive kid, a very physical kid, and will hit you with every ounce of weight that he has.
Oh, that is an accurate scouting report.
What about
right now? I'm not sure how long he's going to keep it, but he's got a mullet, and the mullet matches his intensity. So it ought to be a lot of fun seeing him play.
Man, how I dream. Being a ball-headed man, I wish I could grow a mullet, you know?
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, so fill us in, Coach, on other bright spots on your team. I mean, what other players stand out, and should we be watching for this upcoming season?
Well, I think, again, let me just flip back to the offensive side of the ball. Up front, we've got some returning starters on the offensive line. We love our trench war daddies, as we like to call them, those trench warriors. You know, Hayden Hartman, senior offensive lineman, Gage Swearingen, and we've got Matthew Kuros at center, who's started on the D-line. We've got, again, those front five do a tremendous job, and they're learning the new system and doing a great job. Skill-wise,
We've got Tommy Dixon and Devin Vine and Chase Moffitt. And again, a lot of our kids are playing both sides of the ball, so I could repeat, you know, these kids. We've got Willis at running back. We've got Kai Rigdon, a coach's son who, you know, when I hired the coach, that's one of those cool deals when you hire a coach and,
yeah,
and you find out later that they've got an outstanding son that can compete. And
it's also talked a lot of football.
And running back for us.
Yeah, and a kid that's also talked a lot of football.
We've got returning running back. We've got three or four kids working running back. And then on the defensive side of the ball, again, a new scheme with Coach Johnson coming over from Bishop Dunn. You know, many years we coached against each other. And we're excited to see the scheme put in there. Ethan Colvin at linebacker. Again, I start naming names, and I'm going to leave a kid out. It's just so exciting to see how they're adapting and adjusting and rotating in at these spots. And none of the pads haven't come on yet. So all right now it's all theory. It's all paper. But it's on paper. But I think after next week we'll have a better understanding of where some of these kids are fitting in and some of the spots.
So then district-wise, with your opponents within your district, I mean, what are you looking at there? Is there anyone that you're trying to kind of focus on? Or they always say, oh, we don't coach them till that week of, but I know better that a lot of times coaches are looking ahead to see, you know, to kind of focus on certain teams. It's my understanding Glen Rose is pretty salty in your district, but is that accurate? Or I mean, are you looking forward to any of them?
I mean, and I don't want this to sound, you know, like you said, but I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have not read Dave Campbell's magazine. I haven't looked at any preseason rankings, so I couldn't tell you because we're so focused right now. We got so much to get better at today that I don't have that luxury to look ahead. And I've told our coaching staff, you know, one of the years we made a state championship run when I was at Prestonwood, my offensive line coach was begging me when we were playing one of the teams in our district was on the bottom, was at the bottom of our district. And there was no doubt that we probably, if we showed up and had a good showing, we were going to beat these guys by 40 or 50. But he wanted us to start as a staff. He was like, hey, why don't we go ahead and start getting ahead for our next opponent? And I got on to him, and I got mad at him. I said, that is not how I game plan or prepare.
Yep.
Because I learned that earlier in my career. There was a year we were playing a team that was bottom of the district, and we had a number one state-ranked team. And those kids came out there at halftime against this last-place team, and we were losing 33-28 at halftime. And I went crazy at halftime, in a good way, you know,
right.
Totally constructive
Absolutely.
Criticism.
Got a lot
but
of
we had to get better.
Concerns.
And I had to send a message to teenagers. You know, anybody that's a parent of a teenager will totally understand this. You know, they were pretty cocky and pretty arrogant. Coach, we got this. Don't worry. In pregame, they were sloppy. That whole week of practice, we were trying to hold them accountable. And as a coach and even as a parent, you hate to say, I told you so, but sometimes in life, you got to learn the hard way. And you wouldn't have believed the wake-up call those kids, the number one team in the state, mind you, losing to the last place team in the state slash district,
all right,
33-28 at halftime. And we had their attention at halftime, if that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, we had their attention.
They flipped
and we
switch.
Fixed it. We ended up winning like 68-28 or whatever it was. I don't remember the final score.
Well, fantastic. Well, Coach, it was a pleasure to meet you a few weeks ago when we had you on. I get excited talking to you right here because you got your team focused and headed in the right direction and all of that stuff. And sounds like you got off to a good start today and got every moment out of it that you could. I know tomorrow will be a build off of that, but good luck to the Mighty Yellow Jackets, and we can't wait to see what kind of results y'all are able to produce over there. Uh-oh, did I lose you, Coach? Hello? I think we've lost him.
Yeah, I think so.
All righty. Well, that was Coach Stephen Greek of the Ferris Yellow Jackets, and good luck to them. And yo, believe it or not, we've wrapped up another show tonight.
Got it done. How about that?
How
just
about
you and
that?
Me.
Just you and just the two of us, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Hot beans, we cooked up a big pot, it sounds like.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So on behalf of Chad Hicks and our exquisite production of Yo-Yo Dave.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
We're going to call in tonight and tell him good night, Yo-Yo.
Good night, Yo-Yo.
You've been listening to The Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC, 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for The Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.